Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our sermon series called Jesus Leads, where what we're doing is examining some of the ways that Jesus went about practicing leadership in his own time and place to see not only what it is that we need to be learning from Jesus about how to live our lives as his followers, which is important, but also to begin to learn what it looks like to give ourselves to leading like Jesus led in our own time and place. Because whether you're aware of it or not, if you have any kind of influence, and everybody's got influence to a certain extent, then that means you are a leader. And that means what we're talking about day to day matters. It's not just for the people who are in power, people who own businesses. This is for everyone because Jesus calls every single one of us to be a leader. So last week, and to set the foundation for this series, we did some work to try to uncover what it is that makes Jesus tick, or what it is that guided and directed Jesus in everything that he said and did. And what we discovered is that Jesus' vision, or what it is that Jesus gave his life to completely, was to cause God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or that Jesus didn't just come to save souls, which is what many people think, but he also came to take our sinful and broken lives along with our sinful and broken world and begin to fix and heal them. Or in other words, Jesus' mission was not just a spiritual thing, although that was a big part of it. It was holistic. Because Jesus wanted to transform everything, individual hearts, relationships among with the entire world. That's what it means to be a part of the kingdom. That's the vision. And yet, now that we have a pretty good understanding of the vision that Jesus was chasing, what I would like for us to explore this morning as we go deeper is to get into one of the main leadership methods that Jesus not only taught, but seemed to live out in every area of his life called servant leadership. And you guys have heard this term before. And yet, before we jump into the details of that, to help you get a gist of just how radical and revolutionary this method would have been in that time and place, let me give you some context and some background. So you can see how Jesus is actually introducing something brand new into the world with this form of leadership. So what happens when you begin to do some digging regarding the kind of leadership that the ancient Jewish people would have known, and even more than that, would have lived under their entire lives? What you're going to find is really the only method of leadership that was used, at least in a big picture kind of way, was authoritarianism. And very simply put, authoritarianism is a style of leadership where all the power and control is centralized among the rulers. Or for those of you who know some history, most kings, most emperors, along with governors throughout the world, ruled in this way. Or for some of you, this is how your dad ruled your household by saying, "It's my way or the highway." Anybody remember that? Any children here want to admit that that's the way your household is right now? Anybody? No? All right. Although we got one in the very back there. Thank you, Nash. I appreciate it. Now I know who you are, Nels. And then because there are only a few people who held all the power in this system, that meant for the rest of the people, they didn't have much freedom, right? They really didn't have the ability to make choices about how to live their own lives. They were just expected to do what they were told to do, no questions asked. And one of the places where the Jews would have experienced this kind of authority in a negative way is in how they were all required to pay a significant amount of taxes. Taxes that not only made their lives much harder, but taxes that if they didn't get paid would mean either losing their land, which makes them even more destitute, or being thrown into prison. And we like to gripe and complain about taxes today. You guys have no idea how hard it was back then, living at a subsistence level and getting taxed at a higher rate than we get taxed today. And yet, the most dangerous thing that goes along with most forms of authoritarianism is that for these leaders to get and stay on top, they're always quick to use force to shut down any kind of threat. And even more than that, they're always more than willing to make an example of the people who dare to question them or to step out of line. For example, crucifixion. It wasn't just a form of punishment that Jesus experienced. But it was a type of punishment designed by the Roman Empire to be used widely. It was used all over the place to not only kill the one who stepped out of line, but to make an example of that person by putting them in a public place for everyone to see. Or crucifixion was a kind of ancient billboard proclaiming to everybody that this is what happens if you dare question us. This is what happens if you dare step out of line. Or that, my friends, is in a sense authoritarianism and the only kind of leadership, the only style of leadership that the Jewish people up to this point would have known because it's what they lived. And yet, in stark contrast to all of that, we didn't find Jesus coming into the world to be the next emperor, you know, setting up a government and doing all of that things, adopting authoritarianism. But instead, he came into the world to introduce a different, yet I think better way of leading. A method that according to some of the sources that I have found, was probably created by Jesus, or at least a method that in its final form started with Jesus. And of course, what we call that leadership method today is servant leadership. So what is this servant leadership? What is it all about? Well, I think the best place to begin getting into this is by examining where Jesus, when talking to his disciples about who is the greatest, compares and contrasts authoritarianism to this servant leadership. And this is one of my favorite texts of scripture because of how revolutionary and radical it really is. So Matthew 20:20 begins. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. Or what we find going on as this episode opens up is that two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, have come, notice, with their mother to ask Jesus for a favor. And for me, what's very interesting about this opening is, why is mom involved here? Right? Have you guys ever read this and thought, where did she come from in all of this? Why didn't James and John just go do it for themselves? Are they scared? Is mom forcing this? What's going on here? And yet, nonetheless, we find that their mom is kneeling before Jesus to ask him for a huge favor. So Jesus responds, well, what is it that you want? She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. And again, what I find so interesting about this request, besides the fact that their mom is the one doing this, is it clearly shows that the kind of kingdom they believe Jesus came to establish is going to be an authoritarian kingdom like Rome. Or what they believe Jesus has come to do is, in a sense, overthrow Rome and become the new king over all of Israel. And the reason we know that is because what their mom is asking for is, when Jesus becomes king, or when Jesus becomes the most powerful man in Israel, she wants her boys to be second and third in command so that they too can be on top with Jesus. And yet, because Jesus clearly gets what this mother is asking for, he responds like this: you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Or, hey guys, you just don't get it. You're not able to see what it is that I've really come to do. And then he continues, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answer. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Or Jesus tells them that he is not the kind of king that has come into the world to do his will, to raise up an army and to be an authoritarian type leader, but has come into the world to do God's will, or to be God's servant, which means that ultimately this is God's thing that he is doing, and he is in control of where we fit and how we will serve. But then, what takes all of that to a whole other level of drama is when the other disciples hear about how James and John's mom has gotten involved trying to get her boys to the top. I mean, none of you are laughing, but this is hilarious. This mom has caused all sorts of trouble here, and now everybody's heard about it. And of course, they were livid. Or it says this: but when they heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. So they're not just mad, they're livid, they're indignant with the stunt that James and John are trying to pull in their quest for power. This is a power move. That's what's going on in here. They're trying to become the ones who are the most powerful behind Jesus. And yet, really the only reason the rest of the disciples will get fired up about what James and John are doing is because, just like James and John, they seem to have the same expectations, right? Or they seem to think that Jesus has come to also start a new kingdom like Rome, which means the reason they are mad is not because they get it. They don't get it. But because they feel they are the ones who deserve to be second and third in commander. This is jealousy going on here. Or what I picture is this huge argument begins to break out among these ding-dongs regarding which of them is the greatest, which of them is deserving to be on top. And all of them, of course, think they deserve to be on top, but clearly they don't get it. And so that's when Jesus finally steps in to teach them about what it really means to be a leader, what it really means to be great in the kingdom of God. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Or, hey, you guys know how this world works, right? You get that leadership in this time and place is about authoritarianism, and so the goal is to fight your way to the top to be the best so that you can be the one who is in control of making all the decisions. You guys get that? But then after Jesus opens with that, he then goes on to say this craziness, which redefines leadership completely. We don't see this until this time in the world. This is a brand new thing he's introducing. He continues, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Or to get how revolutionary and life-changing this teaching must have been in their time and place, you've got to remember, all the disciples knew, all to a certain extent, anybody knew about leadership at that time was a form of authoritarianism. And in turn, that's the way the world was supposed to work. That's the way things were supposed to happen. And yet Jesus stands there and tells them the exact opposite of everything they have ever known. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave." Or what it means to be a great leader in this kingdom is to give yourself, not to trying to be served. Right? That's kind of the goal. Let's have some servants to serve us. But it's to serve. It's to become a slave to everyone that we encounter, which was not only something Jesus taught, but it's the style of leadership he lived throughout his entire ministry, even getting to the point where he was willing to give his life in service to the world. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Think about that, people. We miss that. The creator of the universe, the most powerful being that ever exists, he didn't come into the world as an authoritarian dictator to tell us what to do. What did he come to do? Came to serve. Think about how radical that is. The creator of the universe wants to serve. So that means the kind of leadership Jesus came into the world to introduce is not more of the same. It's not about scratching and clawing and getting to the top. But it's the kind of leadership where we give our lives to serving the very people that God has called us to lead. Or for Jesus, the goal is not to win. The goal is not to be on top. The goal is to serve and help others win. And so what all of that means for us today is that as Christians, as modern-day disciples, we too are being called in almost every area of our lives not to be the kind of people who get caught up in the dog-eat-dog world of success and power so that we can be the ones on top, but instead is to give our lives to servant leadership, or the kind of leadership where we're not in it for ourselves, but we're in it to help everyone else around us thrive and do great things. Or maybe to get this in a bit different way, think about this. Have you ever noticed how good parents naturally become servant leaders the moment their first child is born? Going from being all about themselves, only thinking about them all the time, to dedicating their lives to serving their children. You know, doing whatever it is they have to do, no matter how hard things get, to raise up, care for, and nurture their children so that their children can go out and live great lives. Parents, right? You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. How your life is no longer about you. It's not about what you want and what you need, but it's about doing everything you can, no matter what the cost may be to you, to serve and care for your children. Yeah, that's an incredible example of servant leadership that many of us have lived. Right? But now that you're starting to understand servant leadership in that way, in a visceral kind of way that many of you already live, now what I want you to do is I want you to imagine what your life and the world would be like if we lived this kind of leadership, not just at home with our kids, but what if we did it at work, with our coworkers, our clients, even our bosses? What if we lived this kind of way with our friends and the people that we encounter, not just being about ourselves, but what can we do to help you? And then even in the church, what if you stepped up to help serve your brothers and sisters in Christ in need right here and right now? Or what if instead of just sitting around only worrying about ourselves all the time and our quest to be great and to get on top, what if we woke up every single morning and our first thought was, what can I do to serve others? Right? What can I do to serve others? That, my friends, is not only the way that Jesus lived his life in service to the world, but it's also the way we're being called as modern-day disciples to live as his followers. As we continue to give ourselves to serving others in our quest to bring heaven to earth and all that we do. Live this way, and it will not only transform the world, but it will transform you. Because here's the funny thing about all this. So when we talk about servant leadership, when we talk about this service that we give to others, the first thing that comes to my mind is this makes our lives harder. This makes it more difficult because it's not just about me and myself, right? That's what we automatically think. But what you've got to realize is there is tons and tons of scientific research out there that says the people who are the happiest and the healthiest and who live lives that are full of purpose are not people who are self-centered, only thinking about themselves, but the people who get up every single day and devote themselves to serving others. So this is not just for the sake of the world. This is for the sake of all of us. This is how we live into the life that is truly life. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning and so grateful for the series that teaches us about how you lead, how you go about doing this kingdom work in this world. And today we learned about servant leadership. Or the style of leadership that's not just about us trying to get on top so that we can have all the power, but the kind of leadership where we give our lives to serving others, where we give our lives to helping those around us to thrive and do great things, where we give ourselves to making the world a better place. So Lord, as we wrestle with all of this, as we try to make sense of it and what it looks like for our lives, help us not just to know it, Lord, but tomorrow, as we go to work, as we go back into our lives, may you change, may you help us to change our focus, our perspective, and see that it's not about us. It's about serving others. It's about building others up. It's about helping others to thrive. And when we do that, we also find the blessing that we're looking for as well. Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.